Every night in my dreams, I see you, I feel you. That is how I know you. Go on.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock, sitting in this evening for David Fleming. On tonight's program, David Fleming in conversation with violinist and harp player Tara McNeil, who recently joined the PBS television and touring group Celtic Woman. The group will perform live on May 24th in San Bernardino at the California Theater of the Performing Arts. We'll also hear about a unique idea for a nonprofit coffee house opening in Claremont on May 22nd. It's Sanctuary Coffee. KVCR's Lillian Vasquez speaks with Steve Giralli about the idea, the coffee, and where the money goes. That's later in the program. First, conversations with two talented young people who attend La Sierra University in Riverside. They're both important parts of Saturday's spring concert at La Sierra. Oh, and if you're listening on Sunday, the concert just happened, but that's all right. You can still see the Choral Home Concert on June 3rd on the campus, and the Montecito International Music Festival will be at La Sierra from July 16th through August 4th. In a few minutes, I'll chat with Susanna Leyva, soprano, for Saturday's concert. But first, the young man conducting Saturday's spring concert. La Sierra University assistant conductor Michael Patterson will conduct the spring concert. Michael is currently the assistant conductor of instrumental ensembles at La Sierra, including the University Orchestra, Wind Ensemble, and Big Band. He's also assistant director of the Dana Point Symphony and Loma Linda University Church Sanctuary Orchestra, and he's music director and founder of the Pianoforte Symphony Orchestra. Michael Patterson, thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Let's start by getting to know you. When did music become an important part of your life?
Better question is, when didn't it, frankly? I mean, I've been doing this since 4 years old. My mom put me on the piano, and the rest was history. Started conducting when I was about 16. In high school, the band director put on a new, student conductor program, and, that caught my attention, and I wanted to try out for that. And when I did try out and got the position, and after that, I just decided to keep conducting until today.
Do you still play instruments? I mean, it said in your information that you also play piano and the bassoon.
Yeah, so piano's the first instrument I ever played, and I got my undergrad degree in it, and I still play all the time. I don't do as much solo work necessarily, but love to play chamber music, and I love working with soloists and accompanying them and such, and my newest favorite hobby on the piano is jazz. I've been doing a lot of jazz combo work. As far as bassoon goes, I'm actually an oboist. I've played oboe since I was about 10 in the band, and that took me all the way to just this past year. A director that's a near and dear friend of mine, and I play in his wind ensemble, said, hey, we have two new oboists coming in, but we have no bassoons. Do you want to give bassoon a shot? So this past summer, I picked up the bassoon, and now I fell in love with it more.
So in your spare time, you practice the bassoon, okay.
Yeah, something like that.
Also, you're a composer. Have you always wanted to write and create?
Yeah, that's also been something that I've been wanting to do for a while, but it wasn't until this year at school that I've started to take music theory and form really seriously. And so I'm taking kind of quasi-composition lessons and theory lessons and advanced form analysis. And right now I'm working on a wind ensemble piece that should be premiered next month.
Well, I understand that your 2012 composition, Symphony of Our Father, was performed by the Pianoforte Symphony Orchestra, which you founded, and it premiered at the Loma Linda University Church. How did that go?
Oh, very well attended, very successful. It's probably one of the most stressful things I've done in my life. I'm sure any composer will tell you just about the same thing, but there's nothing quite like the feeling of having your vulnerable art, your work, just being played audibly for an audience that's very receptive about it. It's a very successful, on top of the clouds kind of feeling.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock speaking with Michael Patterson from La Sierra University. He's both a student and the assistant conductor of instrumental ensembles at the university. He'll be conducting the La Sierra University Orchestra's spring concert on May 13th. Michael, this is an all-student concert, right?
That's correct.
And what will you be performing?
The works that the orchestra will play include Beethoven's Symphony No. 4 in B flat major. That'll be one entire half of the concert, and it'll be just the orchestra featured. I'll be conducting. On the second half, we will have four arias, one by Handel from Alcina, one by Puccini from La Boheme, Mozart, Idomeneo, and Gounod's Faust. The Jewel Song will be sung, and all of these will be sung by the Marcia Specht Guy Winners Award from the concerto competition we have at La Sierra.
Okay.
And Susanna Leiva was the winner of that.
So she'll sing all of the arias?
That's correct. That'll be the second half of the program, yeah.
And Susanna Leiva is a senior at La Sierra and your soprano for this concert. Tell us a little bit about your impressions and working with Susanna.
She's a brilliant singer. I think she deserved the win. She'll do a fantastic job on the concert. I'm really excited to work with that specific repertoire.
And as the conductor, just for anyone who doesn't know, including me, are you ultimately responsible for everything that happens? I mean, for the music and working with the arrangers and all that stuff to make sure that everything goes as planned?
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. The conductor's job essentially is to realize the score. And we spend hours and hours in a room studying what the composers put on paper. We have everybody's part from flute to clarinet to trumpet to percussion to violins, cellos, bass. We have all the parts in front of us, and we study, memorize, and we're supposed to make sure that the sound that comes out is exactly what the composer intended. Sometimes there's no way of us knowing that, but that's how deeply we're supposed to study and find out.
The concert is Saturday, May 13th. Is this going to be at the university?
Yeah, La Sierra University Hall Memorial Auditorium.
The Hall Memorial Auditorium, and I understand it starts at 8:15 on Saturday, May 13th. You can find out more at the La Sierra University website. So, Michael, you'll graduate in June with a performer's certificate from La Sierra. Does this mean you already completed your baccalaureate studies?
That's correct. I went to Washington Adventist University in D.C., or technically it's in Maryland, right on the border there. And I got a bachelor in piano.
And now you're off to Bard College Conservancy of Music in New York.
For a orchestral conducting master's degree.
So that's back to the East Coast.
Back East.
Michael Patterson, the conductor for this upcoming concert, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today, and good luck with your studies in the future.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Next up, the talented La Sierra senior singing four arias in Saturday's performance. You're listening to 91.9 KVCR, and this is KVC Arts, arts and entertainment in our region and the people and places providing it. I'm Rick Dulock. La Sierra University music major Susanna Leiva will add her soprano voice to the spring concert. There are many awards listed under Susanna's name at La Sierra, the most recent being the 2016 grand prize for La Sierra University's concerto competition and the Opera Guild vocal competition. Susanna, a senior at La Sierra, is currently performing with choral ensembles directed by Ariel Quintana, Sergio Leiva, and Earl Richards. Thanks, Susanna, for speaking with me today.
Of course.
Let's start at the beginning. You're originally from Santiago, Chile. Did your musical training begin in Chile?
Yes, I studied piano at the Conservatory of Chile, and then I moved to the south to Temuco, and I would commute for piano lessons to the University of in Valdivia.
Okay, but you were quite young then. You weren't university age. How old were you when you were studying?
Well, I started when I was 4 years old, and I continued until my senior year of high school. So I was 17.
And then did you relocate to the U.S. to attend La Sierra?
Yes, I pursued a year of nursing back at home, and then I decided to come here and try for a pre-med, not music, really. I was doing music on the side as a minor, and I had my very first opera, The Fledermaus, and I fell in love with it.
And so music became the thing. Well, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you studied piano, but you're focused on singing right now. When did the change take place? What's the story behind that?
I never took voice lessons before until I moved to La Sierra, and I studying with Dr. Lee, Regine Lee, here at La Sierra University. And again, they were doing the Die Fledermaus, this operetta, and she was, why don't you audition? And I auditioned, and I got one of the secondary characters, like primary, secondary. And I've always been in love with acting and, you know, the makeup, singing, doing rehearsals. And I had such a good time that I found myself suffering, studying biology until 3 a.m. in the morning. And instead of that, I wanted to study my music. And that was clear to me that my passion wasn't really in medicine.
And so now you've shifted gears not only from piano to medicine, but from medicine to voice.
Mm-hmm.
You perform in choral ensembles directed by Ariel Quintana, Sergio Leyva, and Earl Richards. Is Sergio any relation?
Yes, he's my sibling, my only sibling, my older brother.
Oh, very good. So music is in the family. Very good.
Yes, it is.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock speaking with Susana Leyva from La Sierra University. She's a student performer at the university and will be singing in La Sierra University Orchestra's spring concert on May 13th. Susana, tell us about the pieces that you'll be performing on Saturday.
I will be performing four arias. The very first one, it's by Handel. Baroque period, it's called Tornami a Vagheggiare. It's a very difficult piece in terms of technique. It has a lot of coloratura, which means fast notes, scales going up and down, but it's very beautiful. That will be the opening. Then I will move to Mozart, which is one of my favorite composers, with Padre Germani Addio, which is actually one of the arias from Idomeneo that it's being performed at the Met in New York currently, if I'm not mistaken. It's a little bit of more contrast compared to the first aria. It's a little bit more sad. It's very exposed in terms of feelings.
Okay.
The difference between love and patriotism, which one you should choose. Then I will move to a very well-known aria, Quando Me Vo, by Puccini from La Bohème. Again, a complete different character, very playful, flirtatious. And I will be closing with a jewel song by Gounod from Faust. And it's, I would say, the dream of every girl, just a woman, to have many, like, lots of jewelry and look at yourself in the mirror and feel like a queen.
And so those are the four. Which is your favorite and why?
Oh, that's such a hard question.
Sorry.
That's very hard. I would say, if I have to pick, only if I have to choose one, I would say the Jewel song.
Nice. Because it's fun.
It's fun. And the music itself is beautiful. It's very playful. It has so many colors. It's exciting. And of course, it feels very natural for my voice.
Nice. And finally, how is working with your fellow student and conductor, Michael Patterson?
We have worked already doing Hansel and Gretel last quarter together. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Michael is that he gives his 100% all the time. And it's not like other conductors that it's only about the technical aspect. With him, you can do music.
Ah, so
it's very
the art
emotionally comes from inside.
Very good. So you get to let the art come through.
Exactly. It's a very easy connection that you get with him when he's conducting.
The La Sierra University Orchestra Spring Concert is Saturday, May 13th at 8:15 p.m. in Hull Memorial Auditorium on the campus of La Sierra University. That's 4500 Riverwalk Parkway in Riverside. Tickets are $15 for general admission, $10 for seniors, that's 55 and over, $5 for students and educators. Children age 7 and under are free. You can find out more and purchase discounted online tickets at lasierra.edu. That's their website. If you're listening on Sunday, May 14th, you just missed this concert. But don't worry, there are two more major events coming to La Sierra very soon. June 3rd, the Choral Home Concert, and from July 16th through August 4th, the Montecito International Music Festival, both on the university campus. Susanna, you'll graduate in June, and I understand you're going on to Mason Gross School of the Arts at Rutgers University.
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations.
Very excited about that.
Congratulations. Can you tell us about your future studies there?
Yes, of course. I will be in the program for the Master's in Opera, which is specific for the opera arts. The purpose of this Master's is to give lots of opportunities for the students to be on stage and do productions. So by the time we try to go into the professional world, we have already lots of experience, and it doesn't become too complicated to get used to it, to the rhythm outside where you are supposed to do a production and go right into a new production. I'm very excited about it, and it's a very, very good school, especially for the opportunities.
My guest is Susanna Leyva from La Sierra University. She's a student performer at the university, singing in La Sierra University Orchestra's spring concert, May 13th. Susanna, thank you so much for taking the call today.
Of course, thank you.
You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock. You're listening to KVC Arts. I'm Rick Dulock. We'll finish tonight's show with David Fleming and Tara McNeil. Tara joined Celtic Woman recently and talks about her experience playing violin and harp with the group. That's ahead in just a few minutes. First, let's get to know how Steve Giralli came to be the purveyor of Sanctuary Coffee. He'll open the doors on May 22nd in Claremont. This not-for-profit venture gives back every time someone walks in and buys a cup of joe. KVCR's Lillian Vasquez finds out more.
Steve, share with me, I understand formerly in your previous life you were a university dean and professor. What was your area of concentration?
My area of concentration was adolescence and theology. My expertise was in mentoring character in guys, in men.
How did that go from mentoring young men to coffee? How did you get there?
Yeah, over the course of the years, as I met with these guys, we started to talk about the fact that it'd be great if there was a safe place where this could happen all the time, where people could sit down in a mentoring kind of a relationship and just talk about life and be genuine and integrate some really good character qualities into the conversation. And as we spoke more and more about it, this coffee shop idea evolved. That was it. I approached a couple of those guys and I said, if you're on board, we'll launch it.
What did some of those conversations sound like?
Well, we often talked about the fact that in a society where masculinity is often skewed, character traits like being compassionate and being good are lost. And so the conversation often revolved around, what does it mean to be a loving man? Uh-huh. And what does it mean to be a good man? And what does it mean to be a wise man? Those were three of the dominant character traits that we often talked about. And so as we talked about life in our group context, often a question would come up and say, is that a wise decision? Why was it a wise decision? Or was that the loving thing to do? Or is that what being a good man should look like?
Now, when you were having these conversations, did the conversations vary from culture to culture, or what did you see with the young men that you worked with? What kind of dynamics?
The conversations vary little from culture to culture.
Oh.
Because good is still good,
right,
you know, in the world. And so so it did vary just a little bit, but those guys were able to speak into it. Most of the time, it was the challenge for the individual to do some introspect and to kind of commit to being that kind of a man. Or we also launched it with girls, that kind of a woman.
Nice. So let's talk about how did the coffee shop itself come about? Did you retire and said, now is the time? How did it fall into place?
Yeah, it was, you know, one of the questions that I often ask the people that I mentor is, if you could get up in the morning and do anything you wanted to do and get paid for it, what would it be? And oftentimes, they're, you know, these are with younger men and women who are still trying to formulate ideas about career, you know. And so we were trying to think outside the box, not necessarily pigeonhole it into a career. And one day, one of the guys turned it around on me and he said, hey, Doc, if you could get up every morning and do whatever you want and be paid for it, what would it be? I said, you know what? I'd sit around and I'd have coffee all day long and talk with people. And so so that started it for me. And, you know, and I said, you know, it's time. It's time to do this. We had been dreaming about it for about 10 years. And in about 3 years ago, it took root and we launched it.
And so now you'll have what's called Sanctuary Coffee, a new coffee shop in the city of Claremont, where your coffee shop will be giving back to nonprofits. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, we've got a very, very unique situation. We decided that what we would do is register as a 501c3, a nonprofit organization, so that 100% of our profit margin goes into charities in the community. So so we begin to support that on a regular basis, on an annual basis. And we deal with fair trade coffees, and so our logo is three intersecting circles. We say, first of all, that a farmer gets a fair wage, which ensures a little bit more stability of a global economy, but it also puts a significant dent in reconciling human slavery in the world. Second thing that we do is we've committed with our coffee broker, Wild Goose Coffee. They've committed to donate 10 pounds of food for every pound of coffee that we buy and sell from them.
Wow, and how is that going to work? How did you arrange that, and what does that look like?
What happens is Wild Goose keeps tabs of every coffee that's sold to us, and then they make a contribution to one of the food pantries here. It's actually Inland Valley Hope Partners. They operate, I think, 17 different food pantries all throughout the Inland Empire and East L.A., where there's about 70,000 low-to-no-income families that need their services. So that kind of a hit is significant to them. So just buying coffee, not even changing a daily routine, can ensure that people are getting food. That's the second circle. The third circle is what we just mentioned. 100% of our profit goes to three specific charities that we've selected that have a hit beyond Claremont. They do some very significant work in all the way to San Bernardino County and into East L.A. County.
And what charities are those? Are you able to share those so we can learn a little bit more about that?
Sure. The first one, obviously, is Hope Family Partners. So in addition to the food that's being donated, they also do things like a homeless shelter. They can house families. They do some skill and life skill and job skill courses to help people get integrated. So they're also dealing with reconciling a homeless population in Southern California. So they're the first one. The second one is an organization called Everyone Free. And we've discovered that the Interstate 10 corridor between East Los Angeles County and San Bernardino County is one of the heaviest sex and human traffic corridors in the United States.
Wow.
And so Everyone Free does a lot of preventative work in schools, especially junior highs and junior high and senior high schools. And then they also are in the process of helping mainstream kids that have come out of that that terrible situation. And then the third charity that we're working with is Ability First. They're located right here in Claremont. They deal with people with developmental disabilities, and so we wanted to also help them. And so we're really going to be active to reconcile some social injustices and to bring healing to social concerns in Southern California. And there's one more piece that I want to mention that's really cool. As we get to know people, we're going to have a highly relational coffee shop. We're going to be involved in challenging, training, and placing people in those situations as volunteers. If anybody wants to drink coffee and be a volunteer, we've got plenty of opportunities.
So how did you come to decide these three charities? What was the process, and why did you settle on these?
Well, you know, we have a strong theological bent, and in the Bible, Jesus tells a story of a king who is in disguise, and he goes to the people, and people don't recognize who he is, and he says, "I was hungry, I was naked, I was in peril, I was in need, and either you did something, or you didn't do something," and we want to be on that front of doing something. So, there's a lot of great causes out there. But we took that cross grid and we said, we're going to deal with these social injustices and concerns. Those, we want to help people who are marginalized, that don't have a voice, first of all, because there's a lot of great concerns out there. But those who don't have a voice, we want to be their voice, and we want to help them. And so that's how we came. That's the kind of the cross grid that we derived.
So you chose these three nonprofits, and some of them are like Ability First will be right there in your community in Claremont. Mm-hmm. The other two might stretch a little further beyond the borders of Claremont, so going into the different parts of the county. Is that correct?
Well, they're all within a like a 2 or 3 mile radius of where our coffee shop is. Two of them actually set just inside the Pomona border, but all three of them have a far reach, way beyond just Claremont and the surrounding communities.
Now, would you be open to the idea of some of those maybe clients that partake at Ability First being a part of your staff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we've already engaged in some seeking for grant money to bring some of those people in to give them some life skills.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your regular cup of joe, or describe the coffee shop, what it's going to be, and what patrons can expect when they visit your place?
It's going to be a beautiful space. We've got about 2,000 square feet, and we're making it very homey. We want people to come and stay all day if they want to. As a matter of fact, we're encouraging that with a bottomless cup of coffee. So if you wanted to come and sit and study and read and really enjoy a sanctuary, a real safe place, and just get refreshed, we hope you do that. But our coffee is all artisan coffee. We are roasting coffee from about 12 or 14 different regions around the world. It's just really, really great coffee. And then we're going to have a full array of specialty drinks. We'll also do made-to-order drinks. That's a little bit about it's all artisan coffee, and we will have some really fine teas as well.
That was going to be my next question. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I am a tea drinker. So hot and cold tea?
Yep, hot and cold tea. Our teas are just as delicious, and they are all fair trade as well. It's going to be really good. And we can make you great hot chocolate, too.
Oh, good. But it'll be great around November or December. Now, is the proceeds from the entire store of any, or is it just the coffee that sells, or is it whatever you have in the...
No, it's whatever you have when you walk in. 100% of the profit margin from our store and our online sales is going into charity.
Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about your sanctuary coffee. I look forward to sampling it at some point. I'm speaking with Steve Giralli, who is the founder of the new Sanctuary Coffee in Claremont. Steve, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Lillian.
KVCR's Lillian Vasquez with Steve Giralli. Sanctuary Coffee, impacting lives with every cup. They'll open the doors to customers on Foothill Boulevard in Claremont on May 22nd. You can find them on the web at sanctuaryclaremont.com, or you can type Sanctuary Coffee into your favorite search engine. You're listening to KVC Arts, arts and entertainment in our region and the people and places providing it. I'm Rick Dulock. Now for the final segment this evening. In a conversation recorded in January for this broadcast, here's our own David Fleming with one member of the well-known Celtic group Celtic Woman. It's violinist and harp player Tara McNeil. Celtic Woman performs live at the California Theater in San Bernardino on May 24th. Here's David asking about the current makeup of the ensemble.
I know that there's various types of musical backgrounds with the various women.
Well, we have four girls in total that make up Celtic Woman at the moment. And yes, we do. We have a very varied background, which I think makes this incarnation of Celtic Woman very interesting and very special. And if you come to the show, you're getting your money's worth, because you get girls from all backgrounds. So we have Susan McFadden, who is a singer in the group, and she has a very impressive musical theatre background. So she would have been performing in the West End. She was leading roles, and so she brings this big, big voice and that musical theatre background. Then we have Maria de Carlin, who's also from the north of Ireland, where I'm from, and she studied classically. So she did a degree in classical singing, but she also has this folk singing background, and which is, you know, very special, unique thing to bring to the group. And in this show, we get her singing things like Ave Maria, you know, so beautifully, and she can really show her classical training there. And then we have another singer, Ava McMahon, and she is really been brought up in this traditional way of singing called Shanos. So it's all about telling a story, and she would primarily have sang in the Irish language. Whenever she came into Celtic Woman, she was singing more, you know, with, you know, English lyrics, but her way of singing was definitely about the Irish language, about the folk element and that heritage from Ireland. And now in this show, she's going to be bringing, in one of her solos, she does some Shanos singing, which is wonderful, and she sings in the Irish language, which is a special element, which is new to the show this year. Myself, I'm the violinist and the harpist in the group, and I have primarily a classical upbringing with the violin, so I studied that in college, and I would have been playing orchestrally, but I also was brought up singing folk songs and the Irish music there. And with the harp, I've played the Irish harp and played, you know, the traditional way of playing there. So we all bring so much, I think, to the group, and I think it's a really special lineup at the minute, because we all have our own specialities, but together we bring this unique Celtic Woman to the stage.
Fantastic. A couple of things here that I'd like to touch again on briefly. You mentioned Ava and the, I believe you called it Shanos singing?
Shanos, yes. Shanos, yes.
Is this what we would find with, say, the Chieftains or the Clancy Brothers or some of the more traditional folk? Is that the
yes,
Shanos?
Well, it's really, I'd say it's really Irish singing at its utmost core. It's just, it's about just singing in your kitchen or singing in the pub or something. But it's just about you just sit there and you sing, and it's about telling the story, and then it's about adding ornamentations into the music, and it's all about that. And it's a very nice and unique thing. So yeah, you have to come to the show to hear it.
Oh, wonderful! Well, with you in as the new violinist and harpist,
I'm very happy that the harp is in the group. I think it's it really adds to the show, because it is this symbol of Ireland. It's on our money, you know. Really is that symbol of Celtic and Irishness. But I'm delighted to be able to bring violin and the harp, because it just means that is, you know, that's me. That's my little stamp on Celtic Woman, and that's something that I bring, which is new.
You've seen more than your fair share of touring.
This is my very first 4-month tour. The longest I would have been away would be maybe 3 weeks. But yeah, 4 months is, this is going to be interesting. I want to try my best to get out in the mornings to see something in each city so that I can sort of see the difference. Like just yesterday, I found a little cafe that was by the sea, and it just really just made that day different. A beautiful lunch, and then we have to do our best to get out and see the places, or else it would be bus, hotel, then venue. But the venues are incredible, and each audience is different, so we get a feel from every city, from the different audiences, the different venues. It's we're very, very lucky to be doing what we're doing and getting to travel across the world and seeing these different places.
I know that Red Rocks is one place that you're looking forward to performing at because the other women have spoken highly of it. How about any others that you know of on this tour so far?
Do you know what? Red Rocks is the one that I'm sort of aiming for, and that's the one that I know about and I've heard about and I know is incredible. I'm kind of taken every day as it comes, and I'm pleasantly surprised at, you know, what I discover along the way. I'd say there's going to be a few places that are going to be memorable and that'll really stay with me.
Red Rocks truly is a surreal type of place to not only hang out or run up and down for exercise or to catch Celtic Woman. Now, I know that one of your favorite tracks on this album, it's spelled as in its Mo-Gil-Mer.
Mo-Gil-Mer, yeah.
Oh my gosh, wasn't so far off. Okay. Well, so tell me about Mo-Gil-Mer. Why is this one of your favorite tracks?
I love this one because we're all on the stage together and it just gets a brilliant reaction from the audience every night. It's so energetic. We have this wonderful band with us and this amazing sort of music made up of like this 72-piece orchestra. So we have all the energy from our album brought onto the stage, and in this song it really just comes to the fore. It's a big sound, big number, and I get to run about the place a little bit. Oh, it's fun.
We're very early into this tour, so I'm wondering by chance, and there's got to be a diplomatic way of answering this so you don't get in trouble.
Okay.
At the end of this tour, can you predict what song you will still love? Duleman or whatever, something that's just so beautiful. Or, and here's the one we have to dance delicately around, say, can you predict the one that you are never going to want to hear again after 80?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying.
Trying to get me in trouble here.
No, I love and adore everything Celtic Woman does. I appreciate the producers.
Well, definitely I know the one that I will not get sick of is For the Love of a Princess, which is one of my solos, and it's the theme from The Braveheart movie.
Oh, right. Okay, cool.
So that's on the new album as well, but it has and a new section at the end of it, which allows me to really play and show off a little bit.
Beautiful.
So I love it, and it's difficult. So it keeps me on my toes every single night. I know that I'll not get bored because I have to go out there and I have to nail it every time.
Certainly.
And so I'm going to be trying to get better at that every night. So that one will definitely keep me going to the end. And it's such a beautiful piece and a beautiful arrangement, which lets me sort of show my classical side of playing. But it's also got this real Celtic heritage to it because it's from, you know, the Scottish side of things with the Braveheart movie.
Mm.
So it's got this Celtic element. Okay, so that's the favorite one. Now, I don't know. I actually, at this moment, I don't know. Which one?
Yeah, maybe it's best not to address that one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to love all of them. I don't think I'm going to get sick of any of them.
Good.
Because it changes throughout the tour, you know, different things become your favorite ones and other ones become more interesting. So I say it'll change throughout the tour.
True, true. Well, you know what? I'd like to call you again at the, this probably won't happen, but I'd love to call you again at the end of this 88 days or cities or whatever it is. and find out and get another answer, not for the air, and just find out.
I'm like, right. I can't listen to Danny Boy one more time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You'll be meeting people everywhere that, oh, you're from Ireland. What do you think of Danny Boy? And you have to go, oh, and just simmer under your,
Well, I actually do love Danny Boy. So,
yeah, of course.
Yeah. Hopefully that won't happen.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one that should stay with a person, no matter what arrangement. When you are soloing, by the way, is there any room for improv when this is the violin and I suppose harp too, I guess?
Yes, well, definitely. We have a wonderful musical director, Gavin Murphy, who arranges all our music. So he would, you know, I would do a lot and most of things what he wants, but he does give us the freedom as well. If there's something that we feel that we could add, you know, different ornamentation or just the feel of things, so we do have that freedom to change things if we want. But generally, I love what Gavin has written, and so that's what I'll stick to. You know.
Okay. How does one end up in Celtic Woman? Was it as simple as Amari leaving, and then they held auditions? Simple as that.
Well, yes, that is pretty much what happened. Like there's a lot of other violinists going for the role. I had been lucky that I had actually played the harp in the band for the PBS special, so I had met some people involved in the group at that time. I had always made it very clear that I had loved to be involved in Celtic Woman, and you know, I jumped at the chance to audition and at that time to be involved in the band playing the harp. So I was very happy, and I went in and played for the bosses, and thank goodness they liked me, and I played well, so here I am.
All right. Well, then now you're playing many songs, I would imagine, that were done before. As a matter of fact, looking at the few discs that I own, which are really the first one and now the last two, the most recent two, there are more than a few songs that were covered on previous releases. So I wonder, you know, what's your take on that? Would you, is this an opportunity for you to put your own stamp on something that has been done before, so people can listen to a couple of different versions of this one tune or another? Again, you know, because several of them have been on previous albums.
Well, definitely. Well, luckily for me, my solo numbers on the new album have never been done before, so they definitely gave me that opportunity to not be compared. On my solo ones, to just go out and take new pieces and show people what I can do. But then we're very lucky to have Gavin Murphy, our musical director, because on this Voices of Angels album, there may be some songs, like the titles, that are familiar, but he has made these incredible brand new arrangements that are just a whole, give these songs a whole new life. Like the Voices of Angels really does that, and with the 72-piece orchestra, it gives a big sound. And Gavin's just amazing with he would sort of have a bit of jazz influence, and it's really like cool numbers. He does amazing things with, say, Dulaman. I think Dulaman sounds completely different, and Mogilamar, that's brand new. And I'd say people listening to an old album and listening to Voices of Angels, that they'd love the differences, and that you can't really compare so much because they've got this new life to them.
It is completely new. There's no real instances where you're feeling like you're just, quote, filling in the shoes of what was before.
No, I feel lucky in that way. I've got a chance to just be me.
Good, fantastic. I read that as a pre-show ritual, the four of you link fingers, wish each other luck, and remember that you're a team. This sounds quite beautiful, and I can see this as the thing that you're doing just before the curtains go up or just before the stage manager tells you to get off the stage because they need to do their thing. But so that's the team thing. How about some sort of personal preparation, something that you do to prepare yourself, and not just you know, going through the muscle memory of working the harp and the violin. I want to hear what you do to prepare yourself mentally, to know that you're about to be in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing, isn't it, you know, to be doing that every
yeah.
night?
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, I try not to think about it so much because I think the nerves would hit me more. So I more just focus on, I do focus on my playing. I focus on having my violin clean and just and just playing things through slowly, like my solo numbers, so I just know that my fingers are going to go down in the right place and just keeping everything very calm. And the slow practice, and I think about that, and I think about being up on that stage and playing the best that I can. And yes, I want to give the best performance I can for the audience, but it's also for me, because I want to leave that stage proud and happy with what I've just done. So and whenever you're up there, sometimes you can't see all the people. It's just because that spotlight is on you.
That's a good thing.
And yeah, because sometimes it's a bit of a shock when the lights go up. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people there tonight. So, but even in my my solo for the Braveheart, for a lot of that, I just keep my eyes closed, because that way I'm just so, I'm just concentrating on making the best sound that I can, and just trying to give the best performance I can. And that way, I just get into the zone.
Perfect.
I think it's all about being relaxed and focused. So whatever I can do before to get myself into that state is what I do.
Okay, fantastic. When do you remember discovering Celtic Woman, and what was it about it? What really grabbed you about this group?
Well, I would have been in my teens,
okay.
And I would have watched some clips from the PBS specials on YouTube, and I watched these girls, and I thought, you know, this is incredible, this is what I want to do, and this is something that I could do really well. I want to get up there, and I want to showcase everything that I can do. So I was just very, very happy whenever the opportunity arose, because I admire these girls. They were all incredibly talented, and to be standing on up on the stage with the girls that are currently in it, and as a member of Celtic Woman, from the history of Celtic Woman, it's an incredible honor.
Fantastic. Wow. Gosh, Tara, I certainly look forward to not only the PBS special, because we are not only an NPR radio station, we are also a PBS TV station, so we will be airing the special, but also you'll be performing nearby, and so I really look forward to catching both. Tara, this was a wonderful interview for me. I appreciate your time, and you're a good person to talk to. I appreciate this.
Yes, you too. Thanks so much for getting in touch.
Definitely. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Well, that wraps up another episode of KVC Arts. Please keep KVC Arts producer and host David Fleming in your thoughts. He's still recovering at home. We look forward to David's return to KVC Arts. Thanks this week to Michael Patterson and Susanna Leva from La Sierra University. The spring concert happens, or happened, as the case may be, on May 13th. Information on the spring concert and future performances by and at La Sierra University can be found on their website at lasierra.edu. Thanks to Darla Tucker at La Sierra for her assistance with arranging the interviews. Thanks to Tara McNeil and Celtic Woman for the interview and the wonderful music. And thanks to Steve Giralli of Sanctuary Coffee, opening May 22nd in Claremont, online at sanctuaryclaremont.com. Theme music for KVC Arts comes from Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean. A special thank you to KVCR's Lillian Vasquez. If it were not for her contributions to this program lately, KVC Arts would most certainly be in reruns. You can listen to past episodes of this program, catch up on local and national news, or make a pledge of support to KVCR at our website, kvcrnews.org. Please keep it right here on 91.9 KVCR, where you learn something new every day. I'm Rick Dulock. Thanks so very much for listening. Good night.